The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back, everyone, to the deep dive. Today we're tackling something pretty fundamental, I think. It sort of challenges how we even think about getting older.
Absolutely. It's a big one.
We are diving into Dr. David Sinclair's book, Lifespan, Why We Age and Why We Don't Have To.
And the central idea, I mean, it's genuinely radical, isn't it? He's not just talking about, you know, adding a few extra years here and there.
No, not at all.
He's flat out saying that aging itself is a disease. He calls it the mother of all diseases, actually. And crucially, that it's something we can potentially treat, slow down, maybe even reverse.
Exactly. So our mission today really is to unpack that. We want to get into Sinclair's core science, the why we age, according to him, and then really connect that to, okay, what can you do? What are the practical steps based on this science?
And it matters so much right now because, think about it, if we target aging itself, we're not just playing whack-a-mole anymore.
Right. Treating heart disease, then cancer, then diabetes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Instead, you target the root cause, aging, and potentially push back all those major chronic diseases at the same time. It's a total shift towards proactive health. Real prevention. Now, when you make claims this bold, you need some serious credentials. Mm-hmm. And Dr. David Sinclair certainly has them. We're talking about professor of genetics at Harvard Medical School, mm-hmm. and he co-directs the Paul F. Glenn Center for Biology of Aging Research there. He's got a PhD in molecular genetics, decades of really pioneering work in this specific field.
And what I find really distinctive about him, you know, is that he's not just a reporter summarizing the science. He's been making the science for, what, 20 plus years?
Yeah, easily.
His early work, even back in his PhD, was figuring out the genetic basis of aging in yeast. So he's been right there at the forefront driving these discoveries.
And the core discoveries really revolve around these things called sirtuins. Think of them as like master regulators for longevity in our cells.
The longevity genes.
Exactly. They manage DNA repair, keep cells healthy. But, and this is critical, they need fuel to do their job. And that fuel is a molecule called NAD plus Gas.
Which brings up an interesting point, maybe a slight critique. He's very open about his own regimen, taking NAD plus boosters and other things. Does that sometimes draw criticism, you know, relying on personal anecdote versus large-scale clinical trials for supplements?
That's a fair point and a really important distinction to make. The underlying science about why NAD plus is vital, that's incredibly solid. It's essential for basic cellular function, energy, everything.
Right.
The debate is often more about, well, which specific supplements work best to boost it and how effective they are commercially. But Sinclair's fundamental discovery holds. Our natural NAD plus levels drop, like 50% by the time we hit middle age.
Wow, 50%.
Yeah. And that drop basically starves the sirtuins, hindering their ability to protect us. That decline is absolutely central to his whole theory of why we age.
Okay, so that decline, that biological bottleneck, leads us right into the heart of the book's big idea, the information theory of aging. He argues aging is essentially a loss of epigenetic information.
Right. Let's break that down because it sounds complex, but the analogy he uses makes it clearer. Think of your DNA, your genes, as the perfect digital code on a CD. That code, it stays pretty much intact.
The hardware is okay.
Pretty much, yeah. The problem isn't the code itself, it's the epigenome. That's the system that tells each cell how to read the code, which genes to turn on or off to be a liver cell or brain cell or whatever. It's a software.
So the epigenome is like the instruction manual or the reader playing the music from the CD.
Exactly. And over time, through damage and stress, that reader gets, well, corrupted, scratched. Like the CD analogy, it starts making mistakes. It gets noisy. Cells start forgetting their instructions, losing their proper function and identity. You know, a skin cell starts acting a bit like a neuron, or a liver cell gets confused. That's the information loss. And that, Sinclair argues, is what aging fundamentally is.
And if it's a software problem,
then maybe it's fixable. Maybe we can reboot the system or clean up the scratches. That's the hope.
The book lays this out really well. Part one is all about the why, diving deep into this information theory. Then part two flips to the what now.
Right, the practical stuff. Things like using beneficial stress, he calls it hormesis, and looking at specific molecules or supplements.
And then part three zooms way out, looking at the future. What are the huge societal, ethical, economic implications if we actually manage to significantly extend healthy lifespan or health span.
Yeah, the whole book is really structured to take you from the complex science to, okay, here's what this means for you and what you might be able to control. It's quite empowering.
Let's dig into that information theory a bit more with his main analogy, the demented pianist. So the DNA is the perfect sheet music. But the epigenome, the pianist, starts losing the plot, forgetting how to read the music correctly. What's causing the pianist to become demented?
Damage. Constant, relentless damage to our DNA. It happens all the time, from UV rays, toxins in the environment, even just the byproducts of our own metabolism.
Just living causes breaks.
Pretty much. And remember, those sirtuins, the longevity regulators, their main job includes controlling which genes are on or off. But when a DNA break happens, it's an emergency. They have to drop what they're doing.
Leave their regular post.
Exactly. Rush over and fix the break. Think of them like firefighters leaving the station to put out a fire. Essential work.
Okay, makes sense.
But here's a glitch. After they fix the break, they don't always go back to the exact same spot they left. They might return nearby or get a bit sloppy. Over time, this creates noise, epigenetic noise.
Ah, the system gets fuzzier.
Precisely. The clear instructions get muffled. Cells gradually lose their specific identity and function. A muscle cell doesn't contract as well. A neuron doesn't fire properly. That slow degradation, that loss of cellular programming across the whole body, that is aging.
And this whole process, this information loss, gets sped up because of how we live now. That connects to his idea of the epidemic of gluttony. How does our modern comfort actually make things worse?
It's this kind of mismatch between our ancient biology and our modern world. Our bodies have these built-in survival circuits, these longevity pathways involving sirtuins and others.
Right.
But they evolved to switch on primarily during times of adversity, like scarcity or famine. When resources were low, the body would hunker down, focus on repair and defense to survive the lean times.
But we don't have lean times anymore, mostly.
Yeah, exactly. We have the opposite. Constant access to food, three meals, snacks.
Yeah.
So we keep this pathway called MTOR. Think of it as the growth and consumption signal permanently switched on.
And if MTOR is always on,
it actively suppresses the longevity pathways. It tells the body, hey, times are good. Focus on growing, reproducing, using energy. It basically prevents the body from ever entering that crucial defend and repair mode managed by sirtuins and another pathway called AMPK.
So our constant comfort is blocking our natural defenses against aging.
That's the core idea. We're inadvertently accelerating aging by never letting these ancient survival programs kick in.
Okay, that logically leads us into the solutions then, which is part two of the book, activating hormesis. If too much comfort is bad, we need to introduce some good stress, mild, controlled stress.
You got it. And the most powerful, accessible way to do this is by manipulating when and how much we eat. Things like caloric restriction, or more manageably, intermittent fasting, IF.
Like the 16.8 method. Fast for 16 hours, eat within an 8-hour window.
Exactly. Just creating that daily period without food forces your body to burn through its immediate energy stores and flip that switch. Activating AMPK and sirtuins, it triggers the repair mode.
Then there's exercise. Sinclair really emphasizes high-intensity interval training, HIA. Why HIA specifically?
Because it's a potent hormetic stressor. Pushing your body hard in short bursts, getting your heart rate way up, then recovering briefly that cycle creates just enough adversity to signal the cells to ramp up their defenses. One key benefit is boosting NAD plus production.
Ah, refueling the sirtuins.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And it's not just food and exercise. Even temperature stress works. Things like cold plunges or even just cold showers and regular sauna use.
Really? How does that work?
It forces your body to work hard to maintain its core temperature. That stress activates protective pathways, including sirtuins, boosting cellular resilience. It's another way to trigger those ancient survival responses.
Okay, so lifestyle changes are huge. But then he moves into what he calls the new aviation, using specific molecules and better monitoring.
Right. Given how central the NAD plus decline is, a major focus is finding ways to boost NAD plus levels back up, especially as we age. This is where NAD plus boosters come in, like NMN or NR.
Nicotinamide mononucleotide and nicotinamide riboside.
Yep. They're precursors the body can use to make more NAD, plus essentially providing more fuel for those sirtuins to do their repair work.
And he mentions other compounds too, doesn't he? Like resveratrol.
He does. Resveratrol, found in grapes, was one his lab showed could directly activate RCIT1, one of the key sirtuins, and also metformin, which is actually a common diabetes drug.
Right, I've heard of that.
It turns out metformin works partly by activating that AMPK pathway, the energy sensor, which indirectly supports the longevity network.
And alongside these molecules, monitoring becomes key. You can't manage what you don't measure.
Absolutely critical. We need better ways to track our biological age, not just how many birthdays we've had. This is where things like epigenetic clocks come in. The Horvath clock is probably the most famous.
How do they work?
They analyze methylation patterns on your DNA, those epigenetic marks we talked about, to estimate your true biological age. The idea is you could use these clocks to see if your interventions, your fasting, your HIIT, your supplements, are actually working. Are they slowing or even reversing your biological age?
That's a game changer for personalized health. Then the book really takes a leap into the future with innovative medicine. This is where it gets almost sci-fi.
It really does. First, there are senolytics. These are drugs being developed specifically to target and eliminate senescent cells.
The zombie cells.
Exactly. These are cells that stop dividing but refuse to die. They just hang around, secreting inflammatory signals that damage surrounding tissues and drive aging. Senolytics are designed to clear them out.
Okay, that sounds promising. But then there's the really wild stuff.
Cellular reprogramming. This is probably the most mind-blowing part. Using a specific set of genetic factors called Yamanaka factors, scientists can actually persuade a mature cell to revert back to an earlier, pluripotent state.
Like turning back the clock on the cell itself.
Literally resetting its epigenetic age. Sinclair's lab has actually done this in living animals. They successfully restored vision in old mice by reprogramming the cells in their optic nerves.
That's incredible. So it proves age reversal, at least at the cellular level, is biologically possible.
It proved the information isn't truly lost, just scrambled. The scratches on the CD can potentially be polished away. The system can be rebooted. It's profound. So stepping back from the details, what are the really big core messages here? The fundamental shifts in thinking. I think number one has to be aging is a treatable disease.
Yeah, just framing it that way changes everything. It goes from something inevitable you just endure to a medical challenge we can actually tackle.
Right. It mobilizes research, funding, everything. Second big theme, the focus on health span over lifespan.
That's crucial. It's not just about living to 120 if the last 30 years are spent frail and sick.
Exactly. The goal is to compress morbidity, shorten the period of illness at the end of life, to be healthy, active, sharp, right up until the end. Quality of life, not just quantity.
And third,
the programmability of aging. This idea that we aren't hardwired to fall apart on a fixed schedule. We're programmed for survival and maintenance. Aging is a failure of that maintenance, a loss of information. And because it's like a software problem.
It's potentially solvable. There's hope embedded in the mechanism itself.
Precisely. And a fourth one, which connects back to the practical stuff, is personal agency in hormesis.
Right. The idea that we have these incredible ancient defense systems built in, and ironically, our constant quest for comfort and ease is actually undermining them.
Yeah, a little bit of the right kind of stress fasting, intense exercise, temperature shifts. That's actually the key to activating our own internal longevity programs. We have more control than we think.
The book is full of really quotable lines that capture these big ideas. We should share a couple.
Definitely. This one just lays out the core challenge.
Yeah.
My assertion is that aging is a disease. I believe it is the mother of all diseases. And I believe that in the coming decades, we will discover that it is a treatable one. That's throwing down the gauntlet to the traditional view.
It really is. And the CD analogy for the information theory is so good for making it click. The epigenome is the reader that plays the music. Aging is what happens when the CD gets scratched.
Yeah, it makes it instantly understandable. It's a software problem, fundamentally. The information is still there, just hard to read.
And this one perfectly sums up hormesis. Hardship and struggle and a little bit of hunger are not things that kill us. They are things that make us.
Hmm, powerful. It flips our whole perspective on stress, doesn't it? That controlled adversity is actually strengthening. Okay, so for listeners thinking, this sounds amazing, but what do I do tomorrow? Where's the starting point? I'd say the easiest entry point is often dietary timing.
Intermittent fasting.
Yeah, just trying something like the 16.8 schedule. Push your breakfast back a bit, finish dinner a bit earlier. That 16-hour fasting window can start nudging those repair pathways online and maybe focus on eating less overall nutrient-dense food, maybe less red meat, to avoid constantly triggering that MTOR pathway.
And for exercise, don't just go for a gentle stroll necessarily. Try incorporating some HIIT. Really push yourself in short bursts.
get breathless. That's the signal. And maybe start thinking about tracking some basic health markers. Blood sugar, inflammation levels like C-reactive protein. View your health not as something passive, but something you actively monitor and manage.
And it's never too late, right? Sinclair talks about his own father.
Oh, yeah, that's a great story. Yeah. His dad started making these changes, the diet, exercise, some supplements, I think in his late 70s. Mm. And apparently had this incredible turnaround, more energy, started hiking, even started new ventures. It really underscores that you can make a difference at almost any age. Thinking about the whole book, what really stood out to me, what was most surprising, was the concrete evidence for actual age reversal with cellular reprogramming.
Yeah, the mouse study restoring vision.
Exactly. It moves the whole conversation beyond just slowing aging to the possibility of genuinely turning back the clock in our tissues. That and how the information theory provides this elegant, unifying explanation for why so many different diseases seem to cluster in old age. It's all rooted in that epigenetic noise.
For me, the biggest learning was just how empowering this perspective is. Realizing that simple choices we make every single day when we eat, how we move, whether we embrace a little discomfort, are direct inputs into our longevity genes.
It's like having a conversation with your own biology.
Exactly. It shifts the whole paradigm from being reactive, waiting to get sick and then treating it, to being incredibly proactive from day one. And it leaves you with these huge questions, right? Like, if 70 becomes the new 40 or 50, what does that mean for careers, for education, for retirement? How do we restructure society if midlife happens decades later?
Massive questions. We're really just at the beginning of grappling with all that.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acotra Foundation.